Good morning, community. We are so excited to be here today. I am excited to be bringing this message today. It is Mother's Day. It is a very happy celebration for us. But at the Community Chapel, we know that not everyone is a mother. Not all women are moms. And so we take this week and we really honor all women for the life-giving nature that God has put inside of you. And so today, I kind of want to piggyback off that notion of that life-giving nature, not just for women, but also for our communities and for our faith-based communities and for our individual families. And so today, I was really praying about and kind of asking the Lord what he wanted me to share with you and kind of what direction I needed to go into. And I just kept thinking about this idea and this notion of generations of blessing. And really, what does that look like in my family? And then also, what does that look like in my community, in my church? And so today, I kind of want to just talk to you for a little bit about that subject. And so I was thinking about this in my own family, and there is a picture that's going to come up on the screen, and it is a picture of my grandmother and my girls. And we were visiting Nana one time and just hanging out and spending a few hours with Nana. And really, it was this amazing moment, and I'm so glad that I had my phone to capture it, but there was this amazing moment where the girl started asking Nana questions about when she was growing up, and then it kind of led into this conversation of her faith and her what she walked through and her faith journey. And as you can see, I was able to capture that moment, and it's one of my favorite pictures of all times. And the reason being is because I grew up hearing stories of my great-great-grandparents and what they went through and how they were persecuted for their faith, but how they sustained. And then they passed that along to the next generation. And then as hearing my grandparents talk about their faith and what they walked through and how God was faithful at every single level, every single generation. And then my mom, hearing my mom talk about these stories of God's faithfulness, even in her own life. And so it really brought me to this point of what does that look like for me and what responsibility do I have? And then what responsibility does our church have in the context of that generations of blessing? And so today I kind of want to pick up this story. I do want to pick up this story in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy is one of my favorite Old Testament books of the Bible. And it really is this reiteration, constant reiteration. And Moses is kind of getting the Israelites ready to enter the promised land. And he's reiterating over and over and over again the promises that God has provided, the boundaries that he has set in place, the systems that he wants us to operate in, and the boundaries for them to operate in for them to receive a blessing. And so let's pick up the story in Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'm going to grab my computer. Deuteronomy chapter 6, 1 through 10 says this: "These are the commands, decrees, and regulations that the Lord your God commanded me to teach you." This is Moses speaking. "You must obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy, and you and your children and your grandchildren must fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey his decrees and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Israel, and be careful to obey. Then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you." Verse 4, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home, when you are on the road, when you are going to bed, and when you are getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as a reminder. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. The Lord your God will soon bring you into the land he swore to give you when he made a vow to your ancestors Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." Drop down to verse 20. It says this: "In the future, your children will ask you, what is the meaning of these laws, decrees, and regulations that the Lord our God has commanded us to obey? Then you must tell them, when we were Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a strong hand. The Lord did miraculous signs and wonders before our eyes, dealing terrifying blows against Egypt and Pharaoh and all his people. He brought us out of Egypt so he could give us the land he had swore to give our ancestors. And the Lord our God commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear him so that he can continue to bless and preserve our lives as he has done to this day. For we will be counted as righteous. Listen to this verse. We will be counted as righteous when we obey all the commands the Lord our God has given us. That is such a full text, and I wish I could just keep reading and reading and reading because it's so powerful and so anointed. But I want us to get a framework for what's happening here. Moses has been given the charge of taking the Israelites out of exile, out of Egypt, and now they're wandering. They're still wandering in the desert, and they're getting ready to go into the promised land. But we know that that charge wasn't given to Moses. That was given to Joshua to take them in. And the Lord really gave Joshua, is giving, going to give Joshua the grace to do that. But there's some things that have happened underneath the scenes that maybe we're not aware of, in the fact that Moses had to pour into Joshua to get him ready for that assignment. And so really, I want to talk to you today about some timeless principles. Although we know that we might not be, you know, Jewish by nature, we know that we have taken on that new nature in Christ. And so there are some timeless principles found in the Bible that if we really just apply them and learn them, we will see benefit in our life from them, blessings in our life from them. And so I kind of want to start from, let me pull this over. Okay, so I want to start with this. I want to talk about three generations, and I want to talk about a blessing or a directive, and then I want to talk about a warning for each generation, okay? So the first generation is the youngest generation we're going to start with, and I want to talk about your directive. And your directive is this. At this level, at this younger level, your responsibility is really to learn and to start practicing. I tell my girls this all the time. You are practicing at this level, at each stage of growth in this younger level. You are practicing for when mommy and daddy are not living at home with you anymore, and when you have to rely on the voice of the Holy Spirit inside of you and his leading and his direction. And so at this level, students, if you are listening today, we want you to learn, and we want you to start practicing those disciplines that God has given you, the parents that he has put over you. We want you to learn and to grow and to really grow roots, to come into a deeper understanding of who Christ is and start establishing for yourself who Christ is to you and what he has done for you. And that comes when you take the posture of humility, when you learn, when you absorb, when you are willing to learn and to grow in that capacity. And I would tell you that there are some benefits that will come with that. God talks about in his word that we need to guard our purity. And so are you doing that? Are you really putting yourself in a position, whatever your hand finds to do, that you do it with all your might? Are you diligent in what you're learning? Are you taking time, studying, reading the word of God, and really applying those principles to yourself? If you are, there are blessings that come with that. But I want to talk to you about the warning now. The warning for your generation is this. Don't walk in fear. Joshua and Caleb, the reason why they were blessed with the ability to go into the promised land as opposed to any of the other spies is because they said, no, no, no. We understand there are giants in the land. We understand that there are things that can come against us. But we saw God be faithful to our grandparents and to our parents, and we know he's going to be faithful to us. Youth, if you are listening to me today, we need your fearlessness. We need your drive. We need your energy in our church. And in our church, the way that that looks is that we have youth leading worship for us, that we allow youth to serve in different areas of ministry. Youth don't have their own separate service aside from the adult service because we want to be a family. And that looks like everyone worshiping together, everyone growing together, and showing that faithfulness to the third and the fourth generation. And so, youngest generation, that's your charge. But how are you using your gift? What are you doing now at this level to grow and to come into a deeper understanding of Christ and who he is? How are you putting feet to your faith at this level? If you need help getting involved, or if you need help finding and discovering what that looks like, ask your parents, ask your pastors, ask your mentors, ask your friends to help you to grow in this area. Okay, the next generation is this middle generation, okay? And this middle generation, we have the directive of teaching and modeling. We've been asked to teach and to model at this. If you read in Deuteronomy 6:6-9, he says, talk to your kids about this when you're going about your day, when you're living life. It just make it a normal part of the conversation. You know, God was really faithful to grandma in this way. We really saw God do amazing things in this person's life. And we know that because he did it in their life, he's going to do it in our life. And so talk about those things. Reiterate the blessings of God and teach your kids. Sometimes as parents, we do a really great job of talking, but we don't do a great job of modeling that behavior for our kids. And that's a directive for all of us, really, that we need to be more about our actions and less about our words. What does it look like for us to be people of action? What would it look like for our kids to find us studying the Word? What would it look like for them to see us worshiping with our whole heart and then going home and living that way, not living opposed to that? What does that look like for us? For us to model and for us to really put feet to faith in that way. And here's our directive. I want to read this to you. In verse 20, it says this: in the future, your children will ask you, what is the meaning of these laws, decrees, and regulations that the Lord has commanded us to obey? Parents, your kids are going to ask you, what are we doing this for? What does it matter? Why are we going to church? Why do those principles matter, Mom? Why does it matter if I read my Bible? God loves me. Your kids are going to ask. Your kids are going to challenge you in this way. Those that are underneath our care, listen, if you're a boss, your employees are going to ask you, why are we doing this? What's the why behind the what? And the answer is this: because we've seen God be faithful in this generation, from generation to generation to generation, because this principle of obeying and loving and being kind and really studying the Word of God and devoting ourselves to that. Middle generation, we have been charged with the directive of teaching and modeling. In Deuteronomy 6:6-9, he talks about this. When you're going to bed, when you're waking up, when you're walking on the road, those everyday activities that we experience. We're not going to make this a big conversation. It's like, sit down, we have to tell you about something. No, it's everyday conversation. We're talking about the Lord's faithfulness. We're talking about his goodness. Parents, one of the things that we do okay at is communicating, but maybe not great at modeling. Sometimes we have that difficulty of maybe saying one thing, doing another. And that happens in all of our lives. But really, if we're really diligent and focused on, I want to model this for my children. I want them to see God's faithfulness through my life. And not only just through my life, through my family's life. And I want to talk about them with them. I want to really show them, not just by my words, but by my actions, the faithfulness of God in our lives and what that looks like. Parents, don't keep your kids from those things. In verse 20, it talks about, they're going to ask you, why do we do this? What's the purpose of that? Why are we going to church every week? Why are we studying God's word? And I would tell you this, tell them because of God's faithfulness from generation to generation. And for some of you, you may be first generation Christians. You may be raising kids who are second generation Christians. But I want to tell you that your family, your faith community, your church can be that guiding post, that pillar of, let's look back at this person because God was faithful to them. And let's look at this person because God's been faithful to them. And I know that he's going to be faithful to me. And so at each level, at each generation, we're going to honor God's faithfulness. And we're going to teach and we're going to model. So this middle generation, our directive is to teach and to model. And our warning is this, that we have to guard against jealousy. Almost every leadership assignment is temporary. It is temporary because we know that we're temporary. So every leadership assignment is temporary. How are you investing in the people that are coming behind you? If you are too busy accomplishing tasks that you're not reaching down and pouring into the next generation, there will be a gap in that. There will be a gap in leadership. There will be a gap. The DNA of who you are and who God has called you to be in your family will not carry on to the next generation if we're not pouring into them, if we're not investing into them. And this is crucial and this is key because we see that Moses had an opportunity to be jealous in this situation. He could have said, if I can't go into the promised land because I sinned, then I'm not helping anyone else go into the promised land. He could have made that statement, but instead what he chose to do is he chose to look for who can I invest in? Who can I pour into? Who is going to be the one to take these people into the promised land? Who is that person in your life who has leadership potential but is a little green on the edges? Who may be a little bit rough around the edges, but that God has called you to pour into? Who is that? If you don't have a Joshua that you're pouring into, I want to encourage you to pray about that. It is key that in our churches, in our families, that we are investing in and pouring into the next generation. Okay, last generation is the elder generation. And this generation has a special place in my heart. A lot of times what we do in life and in society is we want to honor and we want to really focus on and highlight the youth because of their vitality and because of their, you know, vibrancy. But what we forget is that our elders really depict the fullness of faithfulness. They really do. And it is my honor that I have been able to see this from generation to generation to generation. And it was funny, I was thinking about this story in my own life and how when I was little, I can remember curling up on the couch to my great-great-grandmother. And as we would watch TV, she would tell us these stories of how, you know, she was persecuted for her faith and what she walked through. And I can remember I would like play with the arm fat behind her arm. And it was just this very cozy, comforting moment. And really, elders, what you provide is you provide that wraparound blessing that God talks about. And you really show by your actions and by the fruit that you bear, you show that full picture of blessing, what it looks like to walk with God and have longevity of life and to see his full measure of faithfulness. Listen, Moses did not possess the promised land. He was not able to go in. But in Hebrews, it talks about it was counted to him as righteous. He was counted as righteous because of his faithfulness and because of what he did in spite of how he felt. Older generation, you are responsible for retelling the story, for investing in and pouring into. Retell that story over and over again of God's faithfulness, how he brought you out of this into this and what that looks like. And your directive, your warning is this: keep growing, keep bearing fruit, and guard against embrace change, guard against inflexibility, guard against that resistance of change. Really dig into and keep pushing into God. I know sometimes that it feels like, well, we didn't do it that way. And it can feel like that. It can feel like that. But really, if we're following God, we are going to change. He doesn't change. But sometimes the methods change and the way that we do things change. But if we're really guarding against that and we're really investing and pouring into and retelling our stories, then you're going to see fruit bear. And you're going to see your life have an impact on those around you to a greater degree that you ever had. I would submit to you that our elder generation has the ability to bear more fruit even than the younger and some of the middle generations. Because you have seen God be faithful for years and years. And you get to demonstrate that in the way that you live. Psalms 92 and 12 through 15 says this. I love this verse. These verses, but the godly will flourish like palm trees and grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon, for they are transplanted to the Lord's house. They will flourish in the courts of our God. Even in old age, they will still produce fruit. They will remain vital and green. They will declare, the Lord is just. He is my rock. There is no evil in him. There are some things in that verse that I really want to highlight and I want to point out, that you have the ability to just keep growing, keep producing fruit. Let God continue to use you. Don't give up. You may not see all the dreams and the visions. You may not see them firsthand, but what you don't realize is those seeds of blessing come out of you and they come to the next generation. And that maybe you won't see them here on earth, but when you get to heaven, you are going to see those things come to pass. And so invest in your family, pour into your kids and your grandkids. Be that wraparound blessing that God has called us to be. I have today these flowers, and I kind of wanted to just point out and illustrate that this would be what it looks like to be that younger generation. That at this level, you're still growing and you're still confined. It may feel like God has you in a tight spot for a reason, but it's because he's protecting the seed. He's protecting what's in here. At this level, you're really susceptible to the elements. You're really susceptible. And God positions our families and our church family around us so that we can grow and kind of incubate in a safe space with lots of protection around us, lots of boundaries. Don't despise the boundaries that God has placed around you. Don't despise the position that you are in, because there is going to yield a great harvest if you stay faithful and if you continue to grow roots. At this level, this will be our middle generation. And from here, you can see that we're bearing fruit, but we're still growing down deep. We're modeling. We're showing our kids. This is what it looks like to be faithful consistently. This is the blessing that you'll receive if you are faithful and consistent in that. And then I want to highlight, look at this. This is our eldest generation. And this is what I was talking about when I said you have the ability to produce some of the most fruit. Because from generation to generation to generation, they get to look at you and say, man, God has been faithful to my mom, to my grandparents. Look at that. And he's faithful in that church. And that's why at the community chapel, we are so focused on having a multi-generational church. And that's why we want to have a multi-generational church, because we believe that every single generation has value, and that we want to pour into and invest into each generation. We're going to give honor where honor's due. We're going to love. We're going to respect. And in your family, what does that look like? What directives has God given you? How has he called you to live as a family? And how does that look in your faith community? You may not go to the community chapel, but what does that look like for you in your church? How has he called you to invest? For some of you, that as grandparents, it may mean he wants you to volunteer in the nursery, because you provide love and care in a whole new way. There are generations of people who don't have family members who are serving the Lord, and they're the first generation. We need to see you loving and protecting, pouring into. I'm thankful to be a part of a community that does this. And today, we really want to just focus on that. And I thank you for being with us today. In Deuteronomy chapter 7, and I'm closing with this, in verse 9, it says this, "Understand therefore that the Lord your God is indeed God. He is faithful. He is a faithful God who keeps his covenant for 1,000 generations and lavishes his unfailing love on those who love him and obey his commandments." There are benefits and blessings to having a life of practicing, of leading, and then of retelling. There are benefits to that. And our church needs you. Your family needs you. And before we close today, we have a special song that we want to have you engage with us in. And really, this is a blessing for your family. And so thank you for being with us today, church. I'm going to pray for you before we go into the last song. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness today, God. I thank you that each generation, Father God, has value, and that each generation is going to grow, Father God. And I pray that every hearer of this word, Lord, would allow this word to sink deeply into their hearts. God, that we would nourish and we would really protect the seeds of blessing that you have put inside of us, God, so that for 1,000 generations, God, we will see your faithfulness, Lord. We thank you for this today. Lord, we pray for every woman, every mother, God, that you would bless them on this day. Lord, let them know how loved and valued they are. And we thank you for these things today. In Jesus' name, amen.